The Secret Garden is the title of a beloved 1910 book by Frances Hodgson Burnett about a spoiled girl who is orphaned and sent to live with relatives she's never met, who have secrets she brings to light. Tonight on WMUK's Let's Hear It, the director and two stars of the cast of the Farmers Alley Theater's upcoming production shed light on the story, the music, and the true family drama of The Secret Garden. I'm Kara Lawrence, and my guests are director Kathy Mulay, her daughter Deneen Mulay Koch, who plays Lily, and Deneen's husband Jeremy Koch, who plays Archibald Craven. To begin, I asked Kathy Mulay to share some history of the Broadway production of A Secret Garden.
It's derived from the book, The Secret Garden, which, of course, has been around for since the turn of the century. And it was written by, the music was written by Lucy Simon, who's actually the sister of Carly Simon, and Marcia Norman, of course, who has received a Pulitzer Prize as well as several Tonys for her work on Broadway. And the show was conceived and produced on Broadway in 1991. And I happened to see that production. It had an amazing cast, Mandy Patinkin, Rebecca Luker,
Robert Westernberg.
I mean, it was
John Cameron Mitchell.
John Cameron Mitchell when he was just a young boy, and it was a beautiful show. I actually did the production at Portage Central High School in 2005, and then I took a cut version of it to Edinburgh to have the students perform in Scotland. So I know the show.
The Fringe Fest?
At the Fringe Fest,
wow.
Yes. Yeah, so I know the show pretty well. And Jeremy is the one that said, hey, I think we should do the show at Farmers Alley. Do you think we can put it up in the small theater? Because it's a perfect show for him and for many of the members of our community, as well as, of course, the professionals that we've brought in. So it's a family affair. At this point in time, Jeremy and his wife, my daughter Deneen, are playing the husband and wife. And my grandson, Jason, is playing their son in the show. Yeah. So it's quite a family affair, including my husband John, who's playing the gardener. So it's quite moving for all of us to do this together.
Is it for kids or is it for grown-ups?
The book originally was considered a children's story, and Mary and Colin really are the main focus in the book. For the musical, Marcia Norman took on the adults and made their story much greater. So even though it appeals to children, it's really an adult show because it really deals with the angst that someone experiences when they lose a loved one. And the process they go through to heal.
And there are two or three very important young leads, however, in the show, correct?
Correct, two. Colin and Mary.
Colin
is 10 and Mary is 11. So we brought in a very talented actress to do the role of Mary. We actually got her through an agent in Chicago, but she lives in Traverse City. And she has done quite a bit and is incredibly talented. We're very, very lucky to have her.
Her name is Madison Hertel.
Madison. She lives in Traverse City and is doing the play here?
She does. She's staying here, obviously. She's taking classes online.
Ah.
But, we have an apartment for her. And one week her grandpa's here, and the next week her grandma's here. So every other week. And then on the weekends, her mom and dad come down to visit. So we've gotten to meet the whole lovely family.
Again, the show starts on September 19th, and the full details on tickets and much more are online at farmersalleytheater.com. Kathy Mulay is my guest, along with Deneen Koch Mulay and Jeremy Koch. Like Kathy said, it's a family affair. Maybe I'd like to talk to Deneen next about your role, and maybe a little about your background and what you bring. I know you have extensive experience and training in musical theater.
I do. I went to the Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, and it was actually while I was there that I first saw Secret Garden. The tour came through. And I'm a soprano, a high soprano, always have been. I love those high soprano roles. And so Secret Garden had a profound impact on me because when I saw it, this woman, her name was Jackie Perreault, I'll never forget her, was playing the role of Lily. And she had the ability to make a high note sound even higher than it was. And I was 21, and I ran back to my apartment, and I got the CD, and I sat there, and I learned every word and every note. And my ultimate goal was to be able to make those G's and A's that Lily sings sound like they were high C's and D's. And I, from then on, always wanted to play this role, so I'm very excited to get to do it. The role of Lily, it's interesting and very difficult to play because I'm a ghost. And I have passed away. I passed away the day my son was born. And so my husband has been trying to carry on without me, but is holding on to me so I can't leave. And it's very wistful. There's an energy that I bring to the show that I'm still, you know, trying to figure out because it's, you know, do you play what you want, or do you play what you know everybody wants of you? It's very, very interesting to play a ghost, and I'm having fun exploring the character.
I'm starting to want to ask about some of the family dynamics involved in working on this, but first, Jeremy, would you introduce your character as well, and maybe a little on your background?
Absolutely. I have a similar background to my lovely wife. Also went to a conservatory, but in Boston. And I also have been listening to this CD since it began. I play the role of Archibald Craven, very obviously depressed and haunted and kind of a miserable guy, which is different than what I am in real life. I consider myself a pretty happy person, so it's always a challenge to, you know, play somebody very different than yourself. But the music is gorgeous, and I've loved it since I first heard it as well. And this part was originally played by Mandy Patinkin, who is, you know, a living legend in the theater, of course. And so I have big shoes to fill, and hopefully I can do that. But yeah, it's the family dynamic is very interesting as well. We've been talking about that, and I think that it's very emotional, you know, because we are so close and we're such a family. And you know, playing opposite my actual son, who is supposed to be my son in the show, this is the first time that's ever happened. So that's pretty cool. I think it enhances the experience. But there's also that it's tough to, if you have to meet your significant other for the first time, if you're doing a scene where it's like these two people just met, and then it's your wife, and it's like, how do you
so
go back?
Yeah. We had the same experience with West Side Story. Act two was always easier.
Once you're acquainted. I can't help but think this would be interesting in a therapeutic standpoint, too. I mean, playing roles and just playing with different dynamics, power dynamics, communication dynamics. It's really interesting with your own family if you like them well enough.
Right. It's a great story. I mean, that's what theater is. You know, it's telling stories. And we've been telling stories to our kids since they were in the womb. And we've been singing to them since they were in the womb. So this is just kind of a culmination of all those things. And since it is such a beautiful story, and there is all that emotion, it's just, it really is very fulfilling, I think.
And it is very appealing for children as well. Our daughter, who's only 7, and is so sad that she's not old enough to be in the show with all of us because, you know, someday down the line, she's going to be a wonderful Mary Lennox. She has the script at home, and she sits and she reads it, and she has her dolls acted out. It's so cute.
She
knows
everybody.
It's definitely a family musical. Everybody will enjoy The Secret Garden.
Maybe she can be your prompter.
I think we should get her the Secret Garden lunchbox.
All right. Why don't we take a short break and have you set up the first song that we've selected here and maybe see where we're at. So I have track 5. It's
okay,
ready to go.
Yes. When the story begins, Mary, we see her having lost her family to the cholera in India. So she is going to be moved to her uncle, Archibald Craven's manor in England. And so the housekeeper comes to meet her and take her to the home. And the ensemble tells the story about where she's headed and it's called The House Upon the Hill.
Mary Lennox, I'm your uncle's housekeeper. I suppose you'd like to know somewhat about where you're going.
Would I?
Or don't you care about your new home, then?
It doesn't matter whether I care or not.
Now, in all my years, I've never seen a child sit so still or look so old.
I only hear it's a big old house with something wrong inside it. Spirits won't go home. On the stairways, dark and still. Spirits speak of secrets in the house upon the hill.
Mary Lennox, this is Dr. Craven, your uncle's brother.
How do you do?
You ought to take her to her room. He doesn't want to see her.
Very good, Doctor. Here you are then, Mary. Good night.
All right, we're getting our feet wet with The Secret Garden this morning on WMUK. My guests are director Kathy Mulay and two stars, Deneen Koch.
Mulay Koch.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremy Koch. And of course, we have Jason Koch is in the cast as the young Colin in the story. And it's all coming back to me. I did love this story by Frances Hodgson Burnett when I was young. And I think one of the things that stood out about The Secret Garden was the young people weren't perfect. They had messy emotions. They were angry. They actually hurt other people in the story. And I identified with that sometimes. You know, my parents got divorced and I was not a pleasant person to be around for a while. And it didn't make sense to me why I would be mean to somebody. But, you know, I just was sometimes, and that was often my little sister. But so this is one of the books that, you know, you can really identify with as a kid. And, you know, all your parents do is tell you what you should be doing and how nice you should be.
The thing about these two children is their lives have been similar in some ways. Mary has lost her parents, but her parents really were never very attentive to her as a child. Her servants in India pretty much raised her. She very seldom saw her mother and father. So even when they passed away, it was kind of an unsettling loneliness because she had never really been around them. And then she is forced to move somewhere that is very foreign to her. And she is very angry and very snotty at the beginning. And Colin, who was, you know, born prematurely and was very, very sickly all of his life, has remained in this bed for 10 years. Who doesn't see his father very much because his father really can't stand to be with him and to see him so sickly. So he travels, and he's gone a great deal of the time. So this little boy is very lonely and very angry and very mean and kind of rules the roost. So it isn't until these two children meet that they understand how they act, because everyone else around them is just like trying to please them. And Mary finally points out to Colin that he's a nasty little boy, and he says, well, you're nasty. And so the people in the house here in England help Mary see herself like a mirror, and Mary helps Colin, and they grow together.
May I ask about how Jason is doing with, you know, acting in this role, and Madison too? They want to be likable as young actors. They want to be charming and nice.
Well, Jason's pretty good at being a snot. He's a sixth grader, so we're going through that a lot at home. No, he's a wonderful actor. I have to say, I sit and I watch him and I go, whoa, you know, where did this come from? There is a lot of intensity to what he does as Colin. Colin is a little melodramatic, and because Jason is able to show that so well, you feel for him. You don't like him, but you understand why you don't like him. So when you are ready to like him, when the script allows you to like him, I guess is how I should put it, you love him. You love him and you're so happy for him. You're rooting for him because you realize why he's acting the way he's acting. Mary, it's a different journey because with her, she really does seem like she's just, ugh. You know, she's never going to be happy about anything. She's never going to like anything. But she, what's interesting about her character, and this is from the audience's point of view, she is the key to the whole story. She unlocks everything that is wrong with everybody else by finding a place where she feels she fits in. And it's not until the very last moment in the show that she even really knows that she's going to continue to get to fit in. It's very moving. Anyway, they're both wonderful. They do a great job. When they fight, they look like two kids fighting. And it's great.
Anything to add, Jeremy?
No, you wrapped that up pretty well.
Is it hard to act standoffish and as if the sight of your son is painful?
Well, here's the thing. In this particular story, I mean, in the book, Archie's away all the time. He's in there a little bit in the beginning and then at the end.
That's right.
So my part is greatly expanded in this particular version, you know, through Marsha Norman's book, which did win a Tony, by the way. And so I don't really get... I get one scene with Jason. Well, two. One where he's asleep and I sing a song to him, which is, you know, very moving and for me. And then at the end... you know, it's this whole, the whole finale and the, you know, everyone's in the garden and it's a, you know, the very touching ending. So I don't really have the, I don't really have a lot of scene work that I have to do with him.
I see.
But, it's been great just being in another show with him. Yeah.
I do get to sing a duet with him.
You do.
Which is very special for me. And, to be able to look at Jason and, you know, remember every stage of his life, because I am really his mother. I can see all the different little faces, all the different little heights, you know, so it's much richer for me as a mother, as an actress, to be able to look at my own baby and think about holding him as a baby. You know, I really can picture how different he looked then.
Kathy, there is a garden in The Secret Garden, and in the book it transforms over time, and I have no idea how this is done on stage.
Well, Kathy's been working on a video for months. Actually, we have slide projections and video as part of our background. I mean, to go so many different places. This is a 100-room home that several of the scenes are played in different areas, as well as on the grounds in the moors of Yorkshire. So we're doing it with projections.
I see. So that makes certain things a lot easier, not a lot of building and moving of...
Unfortunately, we do have to move some furniture in and out. If I could have done it without the furniture, it would have been easier. But yeah, you know, the transitions, that's what we've had to work on extensively, is making sure that the show flows from scene to scene like the projections do.
And we haven't reached Tech Week, have we?
Nope. That's coming next Sunday.
Okay. The show again opens September 19th, and it's at Farmers Alley Theater. FarmersAlleyTheater.com is the site, which will give you information on tickets and everything else. And just as a spelling thing, theater is R-E at the end, FarmersAlleyTheatery.com. I feel like taking another dip into the score here. Let's pick up with the story. We were sort of talking about the two kids. Where can we go from here?
What is the next song on your list that we've given you?
Well, one possibility is track 6. I heard a voice, is it?
I heard someone crying.
I heard someone
crying.
We
could potentially play a little bit of that at the top so you can hear a little bit of my role and how high and pretty I get to sing.
That'd be great.
This is right after the prologue, once we've introduced that Mary's come to the home. Lily and Archie and Mary are all wandering the halls. There's somebody crying, and they're all trying to figure out who it is.
It's music from The Secret Garden, a beautiful high soprano part. Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Very high.
It's nice to hear an ensemble piece, too. How many voices did we hear joined in that scene?
Just three.
That was three.
But there's something about the way they wrote this music. It weaves in and out, so you still hear who you're supposed to hear while everybody's singing. It's well put together. Lucy Simon did a beautiful job.
I agree.
I've read that there are some Indian music influences to represent Mary's early childhood, and it sounds like there's some folk elements as well, like English country dance type band music,
mm-hmm. as well.
The earth is so important, the garden, and so part of what helps, you know, heal Colin the way that Mary and her friends try to heal Colin, part of it is through, you know, spirituality and, you know, the power of the earth and things growing from the earth, you know, and the garden is so symbolic. And then, yes, there is that element of, you know, the Indian influence, because that's where Mary grew up. And she was, as Kathy said, you know, basically raised by her ayah or her, you know, her Indian servants. And so she has that, you know, in the back of her mind, too, as, you know, something that has sculpted and shaped her life. And so she's kind of pulling from that, from her past, from her childhood. It's really interesting.
The characters of Martha and Dickon, they are being played by two New York guest artists that we've brought in, DJ Bucciarelli and Jane Bruce. Their characters, they speak with a Yorkshire accent, and both of them have, I don't know how to put it, it's a connection to this garden, and somehow they know that Mary is supposed to go in there. They foreshadow so many things in their songs, and it's like they're connected to it. They're very, what's the word I'm looking for? Spiritual isn't the right word. Almost psychic is not the right word, but with premonition, you know, they're urging her to go, and their music has a lot of that folk quality to it. It's very fun and so charming. They're wonderful characters to watch. I believe we do have a song that will show you that exactly, that Dickon sings coming up.
We should also probably mention that this garden that we keep talking about was a garden that Lily loved, the wife, and she would spend most of her day in the garden. And when she died, which she died sitting on a branch of the tree, and it broke. And she went into labor and delivered this child and died. So Archibald has locked the garden and buried the key and has told no one to ever go in the garden. And Mary is intrigued by this garden, and Dickon helps her find the key.
Dickon is just a young kid from the
right.
farm.
He and Martha are brother and sister, and he loves the animals. He's once again very earthy. The animal, he talks to the animals, he helps them. If a pony's run off, he finds it. If birds' eggs roll out of the nest, he puts them back in. He's a very interesting, wise character, but a young boy.
You know what? I find it pretty cool that New York stage actors visit Farmer's Alley on such a regular basis. Is this just a close-knit world? Have they heard of Kalamazoo? Do they enjoy the chance to take on roles here?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
I would say all of those things. I mean, that is what makes Farmer's Alley unique. You know, the Civic is great, Western's great, you know, all of the, local theaters are great. But what we wanted to do to be a little bit different was to be able to bring in some of those professional actors, especially when they have ties to Kalamazoo or to Michigan. Jane Bruce went to the University of Michigan. And so, you know, she has ties here. And we thought, you know, how cool that is to be able to bring some of those people back that might not have another opportunity to perform in their hometown. So we are now actually, Farmers Alley Theater is Southwest Michigan's first and only year-round professional equity theater company. And so we have the ties to that, the actors union.
And to answer your question about, you know, is it a small community? Yes, it is. And when actors work at a place, they talk about it. And if they've had a good experience, they share that. And so if we are looking for a role specifically, we'll post it in a New York magazine or on the Equity site, and they look at it and they see, oh, Farmers Alley Theater. I heard my friend went there and had this great experience and that they do good work. And actors will go anywhere in this country to do a role that they want to do.
And working with professionals at the top of their game, what is that spark or that extra something that they have that kind of would infect the rest of the cast in a local production?
It raises the bar. Without question. You know, everybody will reach as high as the bar is. And when you have professional actors coming in, whether they're in the absolute most important role in the show or some of the secondary roles, I mean, it just raises the level up everywhere. And it's very exciting for me as a director to get the opportunity to work with those people because they bring a great deal with them. And it challenges me as well. Mm.
Would you find that any people act like they're too big for their britches here? I mean,
occasionally,
do you get any divas or...
occasionally, you run into that, and sometimes it's a little more difficult to work with them. But on the average, I would say the actors that we have brought in have been absolutely marvelous to work with, and those that have been a little more difficult are very talented and know what they're doing and are very special, and you just got to let them do their, sometimes get out of their way and just let them do their job.
Farmers Alley will present The Secret Garden starting September 19th. Full details online at farmersalleytheater.com. And my guests are Deneen Mulay-Koch, Jeremy Koch, and Kathy Mulay. Deneen, you're so good at bringing us along in the story and taking us to another point. I have either a song about winter or even something called Lily's Eyes, whichever.
Okay. Winter's on the Wing is the first time we see Dickon. Mary has met Martha. Martha has convinced her to go outside and play. And so she is trying to skip rope through the maze that leads to all the gardens. She meets the head gardener, Ben, played by my dad. And Ben tells Mary, you know, go off and find something to do. You know, you have such a sour face. Go find something fun to do. And he says, I saw Dickon. You know, maybe you'll find him. And when Dickon comes out, he's always holding this big wooden stick, and it's almost like he can conjure what the weather is going to be with this stick. And so he's telling us in this song, spring is coming.
Winter's on the wing, here's a fine spring morn, coming clean through the night, come where may I say. Winter's taking flight, sweeping dark cold air out to sea. Spring is born, comes the day, I say, and you'll be here to see it. Stand and breathe it all out. You'll be here to see it. Oh, stand and breathe it all the day. Hear it, spread, I say.
A song by Dickon from The Secret Garden, and the Broadway cast recording we're listening to, that's John Cameron Mitchell, right,
Jeremy?
It sure
is. Yes, it is. An amazing performer and writer.
We have yet to talk about the orchestra or the music director here. Any thoughts on how that's coming together?
Marie Kerstetter, wonderful Marie, who has done so much wonderful music in our community, is our music director.
A Kalamazoo living legend.
Yes, she is.
That is not hyperbole.
Community Medal of Arts winner. So, yeah, we love Marie. And she's putting together, talk about a challenge, because as you can hear from the recording, it's a huge orchestra. And at Farmers Alley Theater, of course, we can't put that many people in there. So we have six or seven. And we haven't even had the opportunity to hear them yet. We're singing with them on Saturday.
When everybody gets together.
Yes.
Right, right. Yeah. So in the meantime, I know that... casts will rehearse with the music director, and Marie is expert at playing, talking, directing, and singing at the same time.
Yes, she is.
Pretty much all day and all night, yes. Marie is a master at that. But you know what? She also is, she plays all the rehearsals. So she's sitting there and she's playing and she's thinking about things while she's playing, and then she'll give notes later. And what I love most about Marie, and Deneen can attest to this, is Marie's work with dynamics and phrasing, you know, things that might sometimes get overlooked by other music directors. And she cares so much about the words and the songs and the interpretation, and she won't just let you get by with just sounding pretty. In fact, sometimes she'll say, "Stop sounding so pretty. I don't understand what you're talking about." I love that.
Well, I'm glad we could include her in our discussion, because, you know, it's a big part.
Huge part.
Although you will not see Marie Kerstetter on, if you go to the show, the orchestra is in the pit off stage. You can't see them, so to appreciate them now is pretty much the only acknowledgement they're going to get.
We talk about her in the curtain speech every night, and we give her her props.
Oh, good. Again, The Secret Garden starts on September 19th at Farmers Alley Theater, and the full details and tickets are at farmersalleytheater.com. My guests are Kathy Mulay, Jeremy Koch, and Deneen Mulay-Koch. And we're nearing the end of the hour. We still have some other highlights to get to in the score, and I really appreciate you going this deep into the story with me. It's really fascinating to learn about a musical this way, and then to go see it, you feel so prepared for what's going on, and to know all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into it. It's great to have a behind-the-scenes look at this sort of thing. Is this a fun one to put together? What do you think are the hard parts?
Well, you know, each show that you do has difficult parts. I think this particular show, the music is so difficult that I think that's something that we've had to highlight the most, because it really carries the show and tells the story through music. And the voices that we have for this particular production are just glorious. And so I wouldn't say that the process has been difficult in any way, because I have such talented people to work with.
And you're such a pro yourself. You know it's going to be a good show at the end of the process.
Yes, yes, I do. And if I can set up maybe what we're going to be listening to next, in the story, Archibald's brother, Dr. Craven, he was a doctor at the time that Lily died, and he gave up his practice to take care of Colin. And he himself was very enamored with Lily. He loved her too. And he couldn't understand, because Archibald has a hump on his back. He's a hunchback, and was kind of a dreary young man growing up. And Lily saw something in him that no one did, and brought such happiness to him. And in this song that we're about to hear, called Lily's Eyes, both men are remembering her and thinking of her. And Zach Smits, who audiences will remember as Javert in the Civics production of Les Mis, is playing Jeremy's brother in this production. And of course, Jeremy was Valjean in Les Mis. And Jason actually was
Gavroche.
So the three of them are reunited in this production, which is wonderful. And Zach and Jeremy together singing this particular song just gives me goosebumps every single night. And I couldn't hear it. I could hear it constantly. I would never want it to end.
Strangely quiet, but now the storm simply rests to strike again. Standing, waiting, I think of her, I think of her.
Strange this marriage, she leaves the room yet remains. She lingers on.
How can I now forget that once I heard it to be in love alive and whole in Lily's eyes, in Lily's eyes.
powerful singing you have to do there, Jeremy. And The Secret Garden, if you tuned in during the music, that's a highlight. Lily's Eyes from The Secret Garden, which starts at Farmer's Alley Theater on September 19th and continues through October 12th. Tickets and more information are available at farmersalleytheater.com. What is the ratio of singing to dialogue in this show?
It's overall a pretty good ratio. Some characters sing more than others. Deneen, I think you have about 4 lines of dialogue in the show and about...
I think I have 3.
50 lines of singing.
Yeah, I sing everything.
And Archibald, too, he sings a lot. I think maybe even more than he speaks. But overall, there are a lot of really strong, powerful book scenes, you know, pulled, you know, from the book, of course. And I think audiences will love this music. It's a beautiful score. It's lush, and there's not really a better word for it. It is just a lush, sweeping, romantic score. And that duet, by the way, I would say is arguably maybe the greatest duet for two men ever in musical theater history.
That's saying something. You've sung a lot of them.
I have.
Let's again give some credit to how strong the young players have to be here. The two main characters, arguably, are young Mary and Colin. It's going to be very special to see these young performers in a professional production in the intimate theater setting of Farmer's Alley. You might be seeing the beginning of a truly great career in both cases.
It's very possible. You never know.
Well, without a doubt, and I know our young Mary has aspirations to do this professionally. In fact, she has been called back 8 times in New York for the production of Matilda. So she's very close to getting that. I think it's going out on tour. And so anyway, she's quite the actress to get something like that, that many opportunities. They keep calling her back. They certainly see something in her.
Growing up as musical theater nerds, buffs, whatever, performers, what are some of the conceptions and misconceptions people tend to have about your lives? And sort of, what are some of the rewards and the opposite of rewards?
Well, I think that very early on, of course, I grew up in the theater because my mother was involved in the theater and my father, you know, and they were music people. That's what they did. And so my brother and I were very fortunate to find that community. And, you know, we found that community in high school. We went to the colleges that had that community, you know. So I would definitely say a perk is you find your family, you know, in every show that you do. You become a family with this cast, and you may never see half of them again, but you'll always remember them fondly, even if you don't. I mean, all the shows I've been in, I don't even know how many at this point. I stopped counting at 50-something. But each show holds such a special place. And, of course, there's always some actors that you don't ever want to see again, but you become very, very close. So I would say, I don't know if that's a misconception or anything that somebody would think or not think, but... that is definitely one of the pluses. I would say probably the downside is that exact same thing, is that these people come into your life and you get so close to them that then you don't get to see them again, you know, and each show comes and goes and it's this wonderful experience while you have it, but then you have to say goodbye.
I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize is how hard it is. I think a lot of people think that it looks like so much fun, which sometimes it is, and that maybe they have a nice singing voice and they can, you know, do it. It's a lot harder than it seems. You have to put a lot of time and effort. It's really tough to make it as a business, you know. I think that, you know, it isn't something that can always pay the bills or pay the bills really well. It takes a lot of sacrifice. You know, a lot of people have to give up relationships or a family and then to really make it in New York. So I think that maybe that's a misconception. But at the end, you know, it is something that's really rewarding. And like Deneen said, you can pretty much do it anywhere. I mean, there's some great community theater experiences you can have. You know, you can work at Farmer's Alley Theater. I mean, there's ways that you can still do it and still build another life for yourself as well.
Well, we wouldn't have our professional theater here in Kalamazoo if Deneen and Jeremy hadn't decided to forego the professional career in the big city where they were for 10 years. I mean, they met doing West Side Story. They went on tour for 2 years as Tony and Maria. So when they had their son Jason, they decided they wanted to raise him in a community that could nurture him. And that's why they're here, and that's why we have Farmers Alley Theater.
And the show starts on Friday, September 19th. FarmersAlleyTheater.com has all the details. We're near the end of this lovely hour with the family here in at WMUK. We have time for one more song, and that would be Hold On, I think.
This is a wonderful song. This is sung by the character of Martha. And at this point in time, Mary, and I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but at this point, Mary is very discouraged. And this, I think, sums up the theme of what we all need to do in our life, what we can all learn from the Secret Garden. And Martha tries to pep Mary up a bit and tells her to hold on.
Well, Deneen, Jeremy, Kathy, thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
I think you were just what Colin needed. What you've got to do is finish what you've begun. I don't know just how, but it's not over till you've won. When you see the storm is coming, see the lightning part the skies, it's too late to run. There's terror in your eyes.